The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. It's the weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is sunny in Great Britain. Who'd have thought? But plenty of college football to talk about, college baseball, all things Nebraska. We welcome you to the Saturday morning edition here on Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN Lincoln. Find us on the ESPN Lincoln app. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House allows you to do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Colton Stone is in. Chris Schmidt, Mr. Mark Kranak. Mark, what do you know, man? How are you?
I got some royal wedding music ready for today.
I turned the volume down here in the studio.
On the sevens, we'll provide updates.
Right, and it's 7 minutes after right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing that in honor of Eric Crouch?
Scott Frost.
Yeah, I know.
Joe Carter.
Okay.
Touchdowns in general.
Yes. Who else was the number seven? Was Gomes seven? Dejon Gomes?
We'll go with it. I can't remember. Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
So, quick update on the royal wedding, in case anybody's interested.
Harry just kissed her. Yeah, they're getting in a carriage now.
He just kissed her. Yeah, they're getting in a carriage. It's black and red with a little tan. There's a lot of people standing in a courtyard.
One of the guy with the furry hats is wearing red. He must be a Nebraska fan.
I think 85% of those people are currently judging everything that's happening and are somewhat appalled. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Yeah, there's...
Can I ask a college football-related question?
Yeah.
Is Nebraska football still royalty?
Oh, I see what you did there. Because today's the royal wedding.
Uh-huh.
You're combining them.
You got orange scruff, little orange beard going on. Kranak, you got to be proud of this man.
Well, yeah, exactly. This guy's doing it for the Auburn tents. He's doing it for the copper tents out there. Yeah. So there's a big old built. Oh, it's a castle.
Right. We should probably get to some football.
Yeah. The Redcoats. Every time I see the Redcoats, it just conjures up images of our forefathers going to war with those fools. You know?
How many titles does Britain have claimed that aren't actual titles?
I know. Those imperialist jerks. Although, I will tell you, let's be honest. Out of all those royal freak shows, Harry's probably the guy that you would...
You'd have a beer with Harry.
Right. And you maybe think that because there are, you know, hundreds of photos of him absolutely hammered somewhere.
Right. Harry's also the guy that would probably drop a deuce in your locker and think it was cool.
Well, I did drop a big royal turd.
I did have a growl.
For a chuckle.
Yeah. People got up at like 3 a.m. for this thing.
Well, I got home at about 1 a.m. from Kansas City, a little road trip with Junior yesterday.
And you haven't slept. You've been watching this all night.
No, I have. No, I've slept, and then thunderstorms woke me up. So, yeah.
What? You know, I hope Harry's ready for the fact that it's sort of all downhill from here with Meghan. Reason being, she's an American that just went through a royal wedding. So she just pretty much achieved what, I don't know, at least 50% of all women want to achieve.
To be a princess.
Yeah. Or a duchess or whatever the hell she is. You know, she just kind of went through that. It's sort of like, well, you did it. Now what?
I'm just shocked it's not cloudy and raining and
England.
Yeah, I know. They get a good dozen days a year where the sun shines. That probably accounts for how cranky they are. You know? Because seriously, 99% of the attendees there today were really appalled at something for some reason. Like, they just were. They were like, oh my God, I cannot believe she walked like that. Oh. Something like that. Yeah, so updates on the sevens. Sorry, maybe we should, you know.
That was a four-minute update. Here's an update on the show. Vince Power is going to be with us, the Rewind segment. Vince was tremendous. He came on Monday to talk sports gambling, the Supreme Court decision. That was the monster news of the week nationally for all sports fans. And if you're a bettor, your chance to do it legally and not with Joe down the street. We will get into some of Nebraska baseball. Gary Sharp is coming up. Brandon Vogel next hour. You can email us, mark@halevarsity.com, chris@halevarsity.com. If you want to touch on some Husker baseball thoughts, Husker football news. I mean, Frost is done with the Central Florida Bama narrative. He's wore out by it. He's tired of it. He responded briefly to Andy Kindy about being on the record enough. I think we have that cut somewhere. Maybe we'll pull it up. And then you have facts being pointed out that, yeah, there are some fake titles claimed by Alabama in their history. You have scheduling options that we've touched on that, you know, it's a thought out there. How about Nebraska and Alabama getting together? That'd be fun. Nebraska's got to get up to full strength. And then finally,
yeah, it would not be fun right now.
No, not right now. I said down the road. And then there's closure for you as Joe Burrow's headed to LSU.
I know. Hardly knew him. Look, benefit of the doubt, obviously, for Frost and company. I think that could have helped things, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. Just don't come crying to me if Martinez and Jebbia go down with injury in September. All right? I don't want to hear it.
You know what I want to get into here is the topic, and Coach Frost met with a lot of media outlets this week. How does Scott Frost commenting on Frank Solich and Coach Osborne commenting on Coach Solich? That's when you and I started doing this thing. We were covering Coach Solich when we were in college.
Yep.
And always a good dude to us. Had really good teams. Almost won one a couple of different times. And then change happened. Right?
Yep.
So that is going to be an extremely hard sell by Coach T.O., by Coach Frost, to get Frank back here.
I don't know. I say
it's a hard sell because Frank is a guy and a coach that just wants to do that. I mean, he just wants to coach. He's not all about ceremony and pump up and all of that stuff. And then to the sentiment's awesome. Dude, you were hosed. We love you. We want to honor you. Come on back. Let's pick a bye week. And I don't know if the term too soon will ever escape his mindset because there's no reason for him to feel this way, but he's got to feel, and he's moved on from it, I'm sure. But when it comes to like, hey, it's Frank Solich day, that's not his personality at all.
No,
he's unassuming. He just wants to coach you and make you great. You know, he just wants to teach you.
Yeah, but he poured a lot into here.
Oh, a ton, yes.
And he's still got to have, and he, like almost any alum, has to feel better about the folks that are in charge now.
Sure.
Than in the past, right? It's almost like the place was intercepted by tools for a while.
And, what do you mean, almost?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it really was. It's almost like Nebraska was occupied by lawyers or something, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with the profession. There are some very good lawyers. But you know what I'm saying. It was just occupied by people that are untoward and wanted to put their own stamp on it. And things, it just went off the rails. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, along with that came a lot of sort of blind support at whatever was going on. And so Frank got thrown under the bus by a lot of people, not just the administration. There are a lot of good riddance. He didn't recruit people out there, you know?
Yeah.
Now, personally, I remember talking with you about it then. I wasn't sure that Frank was the right dude for that job.
You'll hear different comments by former players and former coaches on and off the record. Okay, you will. And here's the problem. No, don't, please. No, not. We're making a point here.
On the sevens. Royal update. They're still riding in a carriage. Okay, well, continue.
The carriage procession is continuing. No, he wasn't Tom Osborne, okay? That's the biggest problem there is. In the state of Nebraska, to college football fans that are Nebraska fans at the time, you're replacing T.O., and you're not Tom Osborne. And you go 9-4 your first year, and you ask some guys on the team then, and some things were changed. I'd be interested to follow up with this, like, 100 years later, about what was changed. Was it practice style? Was, I mean, because Frank did, he ran all the camps for Tom. I mean, he did everything. He'd been here. He knows what had worked. He was part of the blueprint. He about got hired away to start the blueprint 5 years earlier by Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin. That's how good Frank was. I mean, that's the first hire Barry wanted to make. And I think of Wisconsin as still being Barry's show, even though he's not coaching. I mean, it's the Nebraska development model that's made them awesome, and they went 13-1 with it, and they haven't fallen off very often.
Yeah.
So I look at Frank as a guy that was just, he's having to follow a legend. And was there reluctance on his part? He wanted to be a head coach, but he would have been happy joining Alvarez too as an offensive coordinator, you know?
I think the thing with Frank where I wasn't totally convinced, I knew that functionally he could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I knew he knew enough
so
about
it. So was it a personality
programs.
Thing or was it a respect thing from his peers?
That you knew would be an issue. It's weird to go from peers to all of a sudden their leader. It's just natural, especially when some of those guys are, some of those guys are older than you. And you know what I mean? Like you're just naturally going to encounter some weirdness there, which he addressed ultimately after the 2002 season. Right. But
but he did that, I think, to appease his boss as much as anything.
Maybe, but let's be real. I mean, the bottom, like the way they were doing things stopped working in 2002. It stopped working in late 2001. And so I think he recognized that and was just like, you know what? I got to change this. I can't have this internal resistance. I got to have a staff that's all about my vision. And so that part sucked too. But that's one reason why I didn't think he should necessarily be the guy. And I think secondly, the thing that he didn't necessarily have to me was that quote unquote it factor, which I think you need at a place like Nebraska. We've talked about this before too, where I don't think you can just be a good coach and things will work out. I think you have to be absolutely exceptional, like a wizard at something.
Sure.
That's kind of anywhere, but I think especially so in Nebraska, which is why I'm so high on Frost. And speaking of which, I watched two, so you can count me an expert now, UCF games last night.
Ooh, which ones? Both Memphis cover to games?
Cover. Watched Maryland.
Okay.
And Austin, PA. And got some takeaways there. Got some takeaways. Some encouraging signs. I'm convinced, by the way, that Miles Jones is going to be an immediate factor as long as he can pick up the offense, which having an offer from Vanderbilt tells you that he's got the brains for he's got brains. So he should be able to figure that out. And if he does, I know everybody's talking about it's a Greg Bell or Wilmon or blah, blah, blah. Like we sort of underestimate, I think, how much pure speed factors into what they're doing. And I think Miles Jones is one of the only guys. Greg Bell, I think, too. But
sure.
Man, I'm convinced that Miles Jones is going to be a guy from the jump, right from the get-go.
Well, based on the Maurice Washington academic situation, it'll be nice to have. I'm glad they took two backs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of this college football thoughts. Nebraska royalty. With the royal wedding going on, Kranak, you are providing updates on the Sevens, correct?
Yeah. And now I won't be able to do that during the rewind.
Right, in honor of Frost on the Sevens.
And touchdowns. And Joseph Carter. Mm-hmm. I believe he was number 7.
John Gomes, Ricky Simmons. Who are some other Sevens? Crouch and Frost.
Crouch, of course. Yeah.
DeMario Williams, was he 7?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a tough. I don't really quite know. Yeah, they're still riding in a carriage. And there's some knights like escorting them as if there's going to be some sort of medieval battle that they're going into. What is going on?
It's called matrimony, Kranak.
Sorry. Well, that's true.
Hopefully. Harry was smart enough to give Rick Heyman a ring this week. Yeah. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. All the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, but many customers think they're much more beautiful. They're eco-friendly. They're 100% sustainable. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. And it's time for you to find out just how great pure-grown diamonds are at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. And go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman on this royal wedding Saturday, 12th and O downtown in Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Route West in Grand Island. Can log on today, sauterheyman.com. Chew on it. College football royalty. Is Nebraska still part of that club? We'll get into it. We'll dive into how and what you do to honor Frank. I mean, if you're gonna do it big. We'll run down Gary Sharp and Brandon Vogel. The rewind next with Vince Powers as VP will give us his expertise legally on sports betting with the Supreme Court decision this week. It's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Welcome in a brilliant legal mind, Vince Powers, Powers Law, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Vince, thanks for a few minutes, man. How are you?
Life's good. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Appreciate your time. And you have spent a lot of time in your career on big stages, big cases. And you understand law. You also are a big-time sports fan. And I wanted to get your reaction first on the Supreme Court's ruling today when it came to authorizing states to now allow sports gambling. What's your takeaway? What's your reaction?
Well, there are two reactions. One is the lawyer in me, and I'll get that out of the way. It's a states' rights, 10th Amendment case. So it's going to have a lot of effects in other areas, such as will allow what we call sanctuary cities and whatnot. But onto the and so you're going to hear about this case and the unintended consequences that people aren't thinking about. But for the what you're asking about as far as gambling, I don't think it's going to change much other than because illegal gambling goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminiscing with my brother today about how when we were kids, we finally had to get a new barber because I said to my father, he's always answering the phone and taking bets. I want to take too long. And so for the gamblers, it just isn't going to change. It probably will change for those folks who, when the Super Bowl comes along, it'll be easy to make that bet. And there are going to be quite a few states doing it. I suspect Nebraska won't be one of them, but what the heck? I'm not a gambler. My property taxes are too high. Go ahead and do it, you know? If Chris Schmidt wants to put some money down, as long as the state gets a cut out of it and lowers my property taxes, I'm good with it.
Vince, if Danny Burke, my esteemed producer, or I want to start Schmidt's sports book in the state of Nebraska, how do I make that happen?
You're not going to get that happening here.
Well, humor me.
What you do is you go over, you hire a lobbyist, and you say, let's get this bill passed. And I just think that the present political climate isn't going to allow it. We don't have legalized marijuana. This is one of these, Chris, kind of it's a policy decision. That's what the Supreme Court said, is let the states make up their own mind. They said, as long as the federal government will not deal with it, then the states can. So you're going to see the NCAA, the NFL, the NBA, they're all going to ask Congress to get involved. So if Congress were to pass a law this summer dealing with legalized gambling, then the states wouldn't be able to do it. I'm pretty confident that Congress can't pass anything, much less something controversial like sports betting. So you and your producer have to convince the Nebraska legislature to pass a law, or you're going to have to get it on the ballot. And so you're going to, I think you will see, as we've seen in the past with casino gambling, that there will be certain financial interests that will put a lot of money into Nebraska to try to get it through. But I think the present climate of gambling, you know, this just has not passed here. And so even though the irony of, hey, Vince Powers and coming on our show, which is sponsored by the Nebraska Lottery, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, for people like me that don't gamble, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I can see that there are quite a few states. For example, West Virginia's already passed a law, and the law was it will go into effect if the U.S. Supreme Court makes this decision. So they're going to be jump out ahead, and New Jersey will be jumping out, and you're going to see this race to try to get some revenue. And you know, the policy will be determined by the state, each state. And here in Nebraska, I don't see it happening, but you never know.
Vince Powers is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A few minutes here. Vince Powers, Powers Law. Thoughts on the Supreme Court's decision where it's a states' rights issue now, states' decision with sports gambling. Vince, you got your pulse on the political climate nationally and locally. And from a sports gaming standpoint, Where do you fall with the pros and the cons of it, of big picture here? I mean, there's a lot of places that could turn into Vegas, meaning there's a sports book opportunity.
Yeah, I think that states that are strapped for cash are gonna be passing this. You're gonna see it in Illinois. You're gonna see it in Michigan. You know, in the Midwest. And I know the argument is, you know, point shaving and whatnot. But I think if we think about it, there is so much money that's being spent right now on illegal gambling that if a player was going to commit an illegal act, whether that illegal act benefits, you know, illegal gambling or legal gambling, it's still a crime. And so that temptation has not been made any greater. And frankly, I know the NBA wants to get in and kind of get a fee out of it, but my goodness, the salaries that an NBA player makes, professional athletes make, I can't imagine they would jeopardize their earning capacity by shaving points. And we've already had the point shaving issues in college basketball, and you know that's always going to be a risk where you have a sport that makes significant revenue for the old people, but for the workers, the players who make zero money, mm-hmm. you know, this just adds to that growing controversy.
You and I are both on the same page when it comes to pro athletes, what they make a year, what they make a game, what they make a free throw, whatever the case may be.
What they make sitting on the bench.
Right. They're good. The other side of that, though, is the... They are, quote, amateurs, right?
Right.
And that's always been an issue. That's been a concern. And what do you – I'm asking you an impossible question here, but what do you – how do you foresee the NCAA reacting to this other than they'll have a Final Four in Vegas at some point?
I don't – You know, I mean, I don't see much of a reaction. There'll be a public relations reaction. Again, I think they'll ask Congress to step in and fill the vacuum so that the states can't do it. But, the NCAA has so many problems. And I would like to think, and maybe I'm terribly naive, but one problem we don't have in college sports is people fixing games. I think the athletes, you know, they're honest. We can certainly make an argument, go back and forth whether or not they should be paid, are they getting mm-hmm. the proper education, what have you. But, boy, you just never hear about, you know, them shaving points or throwing games. And, you know, obviously someone could call up with one exception or mm-hmm. two, but I just don't think that's going to be an issue for the NCAA. This is all about who's going to get the money. And once again, gambling's been around for a long time, and hopefully now state governments and taxpayers will be getting the money rather than the bookies. If you're a bookie, this is a bad day for you.
Well, and just from a convenience standpoint, from an app question, say there was a really good story by ESPN here, like the big picture look here for, let's use the Washington Wizards as an example,
right.
How they'll open up Netflix Center at 9 a.m. so you can go put money down for Premier League Soccer
right.
or rugby or whatever. Stay, spend your $9 per beer or whatever the concession stand cost is, hang out. They'll air the NFL later that afternoon. You can put money down on the Wizards app and just spend money all day. By the way, it's going to the Washington Wizards app.
Sure. And at the end, and maybe they'll give you a discount on your bankruptcy lawyer. But, you know, the reality is, in England, they've had bets all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so, heck, I remember betting in the World Cup, Ireland, we got 62.5 points, Ireland versus the United States in World Cup rugby. Mm-hmm. I thought, this could pay for my daughter's college. Lost by 64. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's there, and it's just the idea that people have to, you know, take care of themselves and use good judgment. As for the books... You know, I mean, what does this do to online gambling? There's always been, I think the Cayman Islands are about to lose a lot of business. Mm-hmm. Because the reason that gambling, one of the laws about gambling is you couldn't use interstate commerce because it's an illegal activity. The Supreme Court said it's not an illegal activity, so that law doesn't impact us. So you're going to see it just getting wide open. For more of that, but still, people like me that don't gamble, I'm still not going to gamble. People who gamble, if they had a flight to Las Vegas, they would gamble or what have you. So I don't think it changes really very much, except maybe on the big bets, on the kind of, you know, the Super Bowls, whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's convenient. We'll probably be able to go across the river to Council Bluffs. They'll continue to take Nebraskans' money and place a bet, but otherwise, it's just not going to be that big of an event for you or me or for most people.
I want to talk about a younger demo. And Vince, I got about 2 minutes here.
Sure.
Being that the gambling and sports betting can now be mainstream, could the allure of it just being recreational, like you and I going and putting a bet down on Kentucky Derby Day, for example, but now that could constantly be available every ball game for Major League Baseball? Or do you think that allure will raise up the gambling population? Will there be more people betting? You and I, you're right about that, but you're trying to regenerate a new audience here if you're a pro sports league.
You know, I get the argument, and there certainly are people who, you know, would disagree with me, but mm-hmm. I just don't. Chris, ultimately, I trust you to raise your son in such a way that he'll appreciate working for money and he right. won't want to be throwing it away.
Sure.
And if he wants to throw it away, he can do it now. And gambling, like I said, you know, I mean, I was in high school. Every Friday we'd look at the sheet. Nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just particularly don't like it, but mm-hmm. I think most people listening to us, they can raise their children to make those decisions. And just because there's a neon sign now that says place your bet on the Cleveland Cavs here isn't going to change anything. You still got to have the dough. And actually, one good thing about legal gambling, they don't give you credit.
That's true.
So
absolutely.
It's not like it's not like you're going to and we certainly all have heard stories of folks who bet with bookies, then double it up, mm-hmm. and then by the end of the weekend, they owe a lot of money.
Yep.
At least the good thing about the legal people is you got to have the cash to make the bet. So in that way, it's a good thing.
Vince, you're awesome. Thanks for a little bit of time today. Appreciate your insights, sir.
You betcha. Thank you.
Take Bye. Care.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranack, Colton Stone. We're about 20 minutes away from Brandon Vogel. HailVarsity.com and Magazine, Gary Sharp will join us as well. Kranack, let's spend a few minutes here on Nebraska baseball. There's been some frustration this year, obviously, from the players, the coaches, the fan base, and it's official. They'll get to watch the Big Ten tournament, not participate. And you're a guy who's followed the baseball program, you know, closely through your time, as have I. And I wanted to was having this talk with some of my family members on the way down. And we're driving down, and we got the score that, you know, Nebraska got beat by the Illini. It was a 13-6 yesterday. And I kind of looked over the stats, and I'm just like, okay, it's tie ball game. Then they get to the fourth, and then there's, you know, a two-strike hit that happens, and there's a walk, and then there's some earned baseball with some good hitting by the Illini. But you've got another starter who now notched his seventh loss of the year, and it's not specific to this kid. It's just a fact of life where it's been one of those years where it doesn't go your way for multiple reasons. From a baseball expectation standpoint, I think Nebraska should be top three in the Big Ten. Now, mm-hmm. you can't just snap your fingers and wish it to be true. You need to develop, and you need to have good ball players. Coach Hurst had shown the ability to do that in 7 years. He's been good. Has he been Van Horn good? No. And that seems to me what everyone harkens back to, which I get because it was the golden era. It was really the only era. But there's got to be some sort of happy medium, because people that are like, well, I don't know about the direction of the baseball program. Well, I get it. You had a bad year, you're under 500. But you have this let's light the torches mentality with some Nebraska fans right now, because it's what they've known the last 15 years between football and basketball. Let's just blow out a coach, because damn it, people are in line to come to Nebraska and coach for a lot of different sports. So I have no answer for you as to injuries. I have no answer for you as to in-state recruiting. I don't. 11 out of 18 pitchers, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. I do know that Darren Erstad's a guy that I would think many would want to play for. And that's got to kind of be on him, too, to connect with the next wave of 18 to 22-year-olds. And I think that's a work in progress. I think he knows the game, absolutely. It's just been a bad year. And I just don't like the – you can question the season, but don't question the guy.
Well, it's I don't know. There's something that's not right, though. There's something that appears almost systemic when you look at how they've performed in the postseason.
Overall, I have no rebuttal to you about slow starts. Okay, mm-hmm. In the conference, in the game. Right. I don't. Are they pressing too hard, or are they just turning the volume off with their head coach?
Yeah, and he's learning on the job too. Let's be honest. Like, you know, he's been a head coach now. What is it? 6 years?
Seven.
So, you know, but it's his first coaching job. I mean, first one. You're learning.
He wasn't the head guy, Mark, but he'd been around the team.
I know, but you're learning on the job all the things that go with that. And a Power 5 program, that's not an easy place to learn on the job. It's pretty, right? Like, it's sort of a, it's rare that somebody with no coaching experience, his first job would be something like this, right? I mean, a team that's been to the College World Series in the past, you know, 15 years or so.
Yeah, you got
past 10 years.
You got to keep expanding that window, but yes.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the easiest thing in the world.
Last time he was 2005.
But I tend to agree with you though that it's one of those overanalyzing things.
Uh-huh.
Like, you lose that many pitching arms, like, just come on. It's you know.
Yeah. I mean, just start drinking is what needs to happen.
Like, you can criticize Erstad, you don't have, because that affects the confidence of the overall team and everything too.
Well, look at who you're shuffling, for God's sake. You have no time to hope you're right. I mean, you lose Lindsman. It's okay, who's going to be the closer? Is that new closer a guy that was going to be a setup guy? Was he going to be a starter? I mean, you're forced to not have your full deck of options here for Friday, Saturdays. I mean, they'd win Saturdays a lot of times in conference, but Friday and Sundays, man, it wasn't a good deal.
Yeah,
and they've got a couple of studs offensively. But mm-hmm. even back to last Saturday, when we're talking bat flip, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a group of dudes in that locker room that, again, broad brush, instant reaction, think it's all good after you're in a 6-for-42 slump to admire your home run and then, you know, heave the bat, do the bat flip. That type of attitude, like you've done something all year. No. So that, I think
we missed it.
I'm talking baseball here.
We missed the update on the sevens.
There's
for
a
Royal
slow
Wedding.
Walk here they're focusing the camera on Megan.
Here's your update. Yeah, I think they're out of sight. I think this is now they've entered replay land.
No,
this is still live. Yeah, they're basically going to be riding this carriage all throughout the entire country. This could go on a while. Huh. Okay, continue. Baseball, sorry.
No, you're fine.
The British sport.
On the sevens.
What sport are we discussing?
American baseball.
Dreadful American sport.
Ugh. No, I think Nebraska will come back to work next year and be ready. I'm anxious to talk to Sharpie about this when it comes to in-state prospects. And Granak, you played it at a high level growing up here in Omaha. I know the Alex Gordon and some of the Lincoln arms. So there's still talent. There's still a lot of talent in state, and a lot of that talent in state's either going to Wichita State or more so A&M. I mean, there's a bunch of pious dudes.
Yeah, there's some that have been lost to Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Look, this has been a problem going back to Mike Anderson, even.
Well, let's call it like it is. Bill Byrne knew he was getting out of here.
Yeah.
And he said, Coach Childress, I want you coming with me, Rob.
Yeah, well, totally.
You can stay here, but you guys are both because he went co-coach, right? Yeah. He went co-coach, and then the A&M job opened. You know, it'd be good to get a hold of, well, he can't really talk about things, but, I mean, things have switched and flipped a little bit since Will Bolt left, too.
Yeah, look, from what I've heard, just knowing some, you know, metro area coaches too, and it's hit and miss, right? Every coach just wants like attention everything. for their program and their guys, of course. But generally speaking, it's improved since Mike Anderson. But there's sort of a collective kind of ignorance that's out there a little bit about some of the players, and a seeming indifference sometimes, as opposed to really aggressively trying to lock up the talent in the state.
We're Nebraska.
For whatever that's worth.
You watch this in Omaha, you come to us type mentality?
Some. And I wouldn't say that's universal and across the board.
That's
and
fine.
I would say that it's improved since Anderson. Since Anderson, I mean, there were times where, you know, coaches would show up, assistants would show up, and wouldn't even know the player's position that they were quote-unquote recruiting.
Gotcha.
Like, literally. Like, literally don't even know what position they play. It's like, okay, yeah, you're real serious about our guys, aren't you? You know, and then the high school coaches relay that to the player. The player's like, what the? Nah, I'm out of here. I'm not going there. You know, there's sort of. Now, it's not anywhere close to like that now with Erstad and company. They've improved it. But it can get better. Like, if that's a thing, if you feel like. And look, I'm sorry. If you go down to Wichita and you hit close to 400 and you get drafted, you're good enough to play for Nebraska. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just are. Look at the Gillespie brothers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, come on. You're good enough. How do those guys get out? I don't know. So that can improve.
We'll improve. Hour two is coming up. More British royalty updates from Cranach.
On the sevens.
On the sevens. Great to be with you on Saturday. It's weekend edition. Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel is coming up. Gary Sharp is on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Well, it's splendid, really.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now...
And Mark Cranach.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you back at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Cranach, Colton Stone. Can find us on Twitter at Mark Skurs for Mark Cranach, at Schmidt _radio, at Two Birds, One Stone. For Colton Stone, we welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, what do you know? What time did you get up this morning to start the viewing? Or did you?
I did not. I woke up at whatever time I woke up and turned it on, and it's virtually the only thing on TV. So I am watching now. I'm getting caught.
You sound frustrated.
Well, I'm sitting here trying to figure out like why do people love this so much? Which is totally fine with me. It doesn't bother me. I don't quite understand. I guess it's ceremony. Like we like to see these things that you have to do, but the irony of that, I guess, is meanwhile, everyone wants to wear sweatpants to work. It's like, we could have this degree of ceremony every day, but nobody wants to do it. So, I don't know.
Now, you're a big uniform guy. What do you think of Harry's get-up today?
It's really interesting. I was looking at it. I want to know what, because, you know, military dress is pretty fascinating. I want to know what the, like, ruffles down the middle of his jacket there mean. Yeah, so there is a lot to take in from that perspective. And I think that's part of the appeal for people is that you never see stuff like this. What are those things?
Okay, here's the Royal updates on the Sevens wedding music. This is a little solemn. I think I got to find a better jam than this. It does kind of put you in the mood.
What's your update?
They're in a car now, it appears. they were in a carriage with horses, and they have moved to a more modern form of transport, a vehicle. I believe... Oh, no, that's not them. That's
Is
the
it a
queen.
Jaguar?
Oh, that's Philip and the Queen. That's Prince Philip and the Queen are in the car now, and they're in front of a big old building, and there's a lot of people watching.
Okay.
Oh, the Queen's getting out of the car. The Queen is getting out of the car.
Hmm. Let's talk some Husker football for a minute.
She's out of the car.
Hmm. Again, she's wearing red, or
no,
somebody's
green.
Wearing red because
green.
They're Nebraska
fans. No, she's wearing highlighter green with a purple flower on her head.
Okay.
A lot going on here.
Neon. Vogue's been an interesting week, first with the Supreme Court, and then things haven't cooled on Alabama, Nebraska, Central Florida, Saban, or Frost. Now, I think if you sat down with Nick Saban and Scott Frost, aside from both of them on this topic trying to incinerate the interviewer for asking about, you know, self-proclamation, they would both say, hey, we're not really on any different pages here. Do you view it that way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it won't cool down because they keep getting asked about it. But Saban's got to come out and protect his team, right? But he says also in that same interview, he's like, look, I understand how hard it is to go undefeated because despite all of our titles, we've only done it once here. And it's not like UCF's title claim was not an affront to Alabama. They started making it before they knew that Alabama was the champion. It was totally about them. So, like, there's nothing going on here. But there's also nothing going on in the college football world from a hard news perspective. So here you go. You get a manufactured back and forth in the media because September's still a long time away.
Yeah, but, you know, so we do have the gambling thing this week, and the ramifications of which, a lot to settle there. We'll see what it actually means. I don't know where you stand on this, Brandon, but I'm sort of like, you know, and I heard Tom Osborne, he comes out and he's like, hey, some of the worst people I encountered were, you know, gambling addicts, freak shows yelling at me because of they lost
We
their
didn't
bet.
Cover, damn it.
Yeah, it's just like, well... But my thing is, yeah, that's happening while it's illegal. I mean, right? So might as well cash in a little bit instead of making everybody go over to Harrah's and Ameristar across the river. And I don't know. I don't know. Do you think it is something that Nebraska will legalize in any form? And especially when you consider, Brandon, you probably know about this, Nebraska's rich, rich history with direct connections to the mob in Vegas as sportsbook.
I'm not expecting Nebraska to be at the forefront of that. So I guess it'll be interesting of, are we going to get to a point 10, 12 years down the road where it's just like, you have to do it. Every other state is doing it. So to not have one is just leaving money on the table. I mean, is the lottery in every U.S. state at this point? I don't know, but it certainly seems that way. So I think Nebraska will get there eventually. My personal point of view on it is I don't see it as a big issue. You know, the incidents that Coach Osborne mentioned obviously had an impact on him. I would say the people that are addicted to anything, be it gambling, drugs, or royal weddings, is it a potentially dangerous person? Something has gone wrong there. So it's not the gambling that seems like the real issue there to me. we know plenty of other countries, including the one on everyone's TV right now, has sports wagering everywhere. Those societies haven't crumbled yet. So maybe I'm being too cavalier about it, but that's my approach.
Yep. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogels, I want to switch to Coach Verduzco, and I can't wait to read your work in the upcoming yearbook on Coach Mario. And right now, as they're continuing to scout some 2019 kids, he and I don't know if you've touched on this or not with him, but he's got to be feeling pretty happy, pretty excited about just not only who he's working with and working for, but the message he gets to send out. The reception's got to be pretty big time right now for Frost and Verduzco with any prospect they contact, don't you think?
Yeah, I certainly think so, because you look at their track record with quarterbacks, it's pretty startling when you take them in tandem. So, you know, Marcus Mariota led the nation in passer rating when he won the Heisman. Then the next year, Frost, who admitted, you know, right when he hired Verduzco at UCF, that Mario was the first person he brought out to help him brush up on his quarterback training. And then he does it again with Vernon Adams in 1 year. And then Mackenzie Milton didn't quite get there, but that's because Baker Mayfield was off the charts insane, and Milton ranked second. So the numbers are all there. I think as prospects get to know Coach Verduzco a little bit on the recruiting trail, his passion for teaching quarterback play immediately comes through to anyone who speaks to him. I mean, you've seen it in his media appearances. Like, the guy cares more about that than just about anyone cares about anything else that I've ever encountered. So all of that, I think, probably translates. And that's a very good development for Nebraska, because you've got to be, if you can consistently, through recruiting, evaluation, and then teaching, generate better quarterback play than the next guy, you're starting out from a bit higher ground than everyone else.
On average, real quick, Mark, sorry about that, but I mean, you've got about 8 teams, realistically, a year. 8 teams a year. And half of those will end up in the playoff. What separates them is a lot of times quarterback play. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, if they're an offense first team, it is. You know, you've seen Alabama, which is such a strong defensive unit, and that's Saban's coaching specialty. Mm-hmm. Be a little bit quarterback independent, for lack of a better word. They get a guy who can come in and manage things and not make horrible errors. And that's good enough when your defense is that way. But for most of college football, I would say, which trends towards offense, your ceiling is going to be set to a certain degree by how good your quarterback is or how good quarterback play you can get out of the guys you have on the roster.
Brandon Vogel from HailVarsity.com and Magazine is with us as we talk Husker football, because it's May. That's what we do. Now, how many games of UCF have you watched cover to cover? Have you watched a few?
Yeah, probably 3 or 4 at this point. Hoping to go back and get all of them in. I've actually watched a couple from 2016, which might be more immediately relevant. But yeah, 3 or 4.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to talk defense with you a little bit, because a few of I watched Maryland and I watched a little of Austin, PA. Austin, PA kind of came out swinging. Defense had some early struggles, but kind of got things right. And then Maryland, I was pretty shocked. When you look at UCF's kind of overall defensive numbers, they're not off the charts great. But what jumped out to me the most is they play a pretty unique brand of defense. Like it sort of hinges on playmaking, as opposed to being that suffocating, we're building a wall, you can't get through this wall. It is dudes making strikes. It is dudes taking chances. It's dudes hitting hard. It's the defensive line really moving. I was pleasantly surprised with how much those guys track balls downfield and just kind of have some overall decent speed for their size. Do you think that's sort of a direct translation we can expect from Nebraska, or is that more a matter of their the body types? But it just seemed like they had like sort of an assassin's mentality on the defensive side of the ball.
No, I think that's all a virtually perfect way to describe how they approach defense, and I think that will eventually come to Nebraska. It's a matter of how quickly does that translate, and when do you have, I guess, the pieces that you need to run that style. Now, in 2016, UCF's defensive numbers were better than the offenses, and then better than the 2017 defense, and it's such a departure from where Nebraska was trying to be at last year, which was, okay, we're gonna line up all the chess pieces, and if we do it right, nothing should get through. This one is a much more high risk, go make a play. We brought you here to do this thing. And if you're a young guy, which sounds like the more intriguing brand of defense to play to you, probably the one where they're actively encouraging you to go out there and make a play, even if it means that you're going to gamble a little bit. And, you know, we've talked about this before, having an offense that's going to be capable of scoring points and boatloads really enables you to do some of that. So I always admire how the two sides of it fit together.
And speaking of offense real quick, Chris, and I know you're high on them too, but the probably one of the biggest takeaways that I had watching that offense operate, well, one, it's Scott Frost knows what the hell he's doing play calling wise. My God, he sort of like constricts the defense over time, maybe starts off stumbling a little bit, but then it's like he locks in and it's good night. They're just scoring almost at will after that. But the thing that stood out to me the most is we might even be underestimating a little bit how important just pure speed is, which tells me that Miles Jones, and I know you're high on him too, I don't see any way, unless he just absolutely cannot figure out the offense. I mean, that dude, it seems like he's going to figure in immediately, because he seems to be about the only guy, maybe outside of Greg Bell, that has that sort of just flat out pure speed, which this offense is built around.
Yeah, I think so. And all of the coaches' comments to this point, you know, just the amount of times that his name has come up indicates that they see something there that may not be on the current roster, at least to the degree that they want to have it. And, you know, and Woodyard's another guy who turned down college track offers, who might be a little bit in the same vein in terms of just pure speed, if you're talking about, hey, who's the fastest guy on the team. But you're right overall. I mean, the degree to which they prize speed at the skill positions is really interesting. Not to go back to Alabama, but Alabama is really sort of a, from what I understand, a body types kind of operation. Now, they want guys to be fast, and they find plenty of them, but they're looking at, we need a 6'1 corner between this weight and that weight. With this group at Nebraska, it might be more, well, if he's undersized or not quite what we want, if he happens to run, you know, 10 something in the 100 on the track in the spring, we're going to give him a pretty long look.
I like the, if the guy can play football, he can help us approach, versus the, in Vogue's, you and I have seen kind of the, that Alabama mindset / blueprint of measurables. I mean, they've taken it to an NFL scouting level because of their talent base and opportunity and the success they've had since 07, right? I mean, they can tell a dude who will end up going to Georgia or Florida, yeah, you know, your hands just aren't big enough, bro. Sorry.
Yeah.
or you're a half inch too short. Meanwhile, you're going to get a chip on your shoulder and grab a guy that can just play ball that maybe was unwanted, or even the walk-on mentality. I mean, that's the motivational side of things is something I'm excited about with Coach Frost and his staff. And I pity the fool that asks him or Saban again a follow-up here, some media member, regarding Bama and Nebraska. In your hot reads, you wrote, maybe the greater good out of all of this is Nebraska gets Alabama. How soon could Nebraska be ready for Bama?
maybe I'll go with Frost. Like it, 2 years from now, if that That's were to I'm somehow thinking. End up to be a bowl game, be like, all
That'd
right,
be awesome, take, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be like, I mean, it's kind of an interesting commentary on the level of confidence that this coaching staff has already instilled to look at where Nebraska was 5 months ago and be like, yeah, by 2019 bowl season, like if they were to play Alabama, you're like, all right, let's see what happens here. there's a lot of football that needs to happen before then, but yeah, it's not coming on the non-conference schedule, unfortunately. It's just Nebraska's just scheduled too far out, mm-hmm. So the Huskers going to have to win their way there.
Well,
I was just going to say, speaking of confidence, though, that's the other thing that jumps out when you watch this team, when you watch UCF anyways, especially against Maryland, which was their second game. They'd had a couple games hurricaned out, so they didn't, you know, they couldn't play. You know, Maryland had already played three games, so it's UCF's second game of the year at Maryland. There was no hint of doubt from that team, from UCF, that they were going to lose. That struck me too, just how they just sort of strolled on into a Big Ten atmosphere and just said, we're going to kick your ass, and then did. And I think it shocked Maryland too, just how competitive they were. Well,
Maryland's coming off that Texas blowout too.
Yeah. I mean, and look, that was not a game. UCF just drilled them.
No, and, you know, so one of the games that I watched from 2016 was the UCF-Michigan one, which Michigan pulled away and looked like it won pretty comfortably. But I noticed some of the same things in that one. And that was game two or three for Frost at UCF. And you had that attitude. It really is the no fear of failure that they talk about all the time, which is good and a catchy slogan. But when you can actually see it on the field, you're like, oh, okay, this actually matters. Like, this stuff is taking. That's all encouraging stuff.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Sail Varsity Radio, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, as we say goodbye, what's the timeline for the yearbook? And give us a sneak peek, brother.
Yeah, so it'll be out in the middle of June. It'll probably ship the second week of June, early there. So about the same time it hit last year. As you mentioned, I'm writing about quarterbacks for that. Derek Pearson is at work on a pretty deep stats dive that I think is going to turn out to be pretty interesting and a way to look at this offense and defense in a way that a lot of people haven't seen before. Greg's got a great recruiting story from last recruiting cycle about sort of what we can learn about Nebraska going forward based on a key recruit. And then Jacob just put together and finished a great feature on Tyjon Lindsey, and Mike Babcock tackles offensive line, which in terms of people writing about offensive line with his historical perspective, I'm not sure I'd want anybody else.
That is awesome. That is great. Can't wait for it. The yearbook with Hail Varsity. Can subscribe, get your Husker fix with the magazine, also with premium content, 855-3-HUSKER or hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Folks, have a good weekend and enjoy the Royal Weekend, partner.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, bud. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon.
There he is. We'll get caught up with Gary Sharp. A quick reminder to you, no time like right now, to get summer memberships locked in with Madonna Proactive, a great facility for you, for the family, the swimming pool, the kids section in the swimming pool. You know what? It's a lot of fun, and it's very cost effective for you with Madonna Proactive. Get the summer membership going. Get the fitness and the wellness goals achieved. Get that summer body. Well, get it started right now. With Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Personal training, beginner, advanced classes, a variety of fitness equipment, three pools, Corsette outdoor pool I was telling you about, cushioned walking track, yoga, 130 classes offered each week that's included with your membership. Take the tour today. Get the summer membership sign up with Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000, madonnaproactive.org. Pickleball going on, of course, but you can sit in the sun and enjoy yourself with the family out at the pool and resort area at Medina Proactive and get your workout and fitness in. Kranek, do you have an update for me?
Yeah, the live broadcast has hit the rewind section.
Ah.
So they're getting married again. I was like, wait.
What?
They're not married yet? I thought, yeah, they're getting married again. It's really cute and amazing.
Well, yeah. Harry married a very, very attractive lady. Good for him.
Oh, absolutely. As you would expect.
Right.
You know, I mean, wouldn't that be crazy if it was just she was just broke looking and haggard? You know? Like, well, she's the princess, but damn, she ugly. That would be Harry.
There is no such thing as an ugly princess.
Harry's been always been sort of rebellious, that guy. So it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, he was always a little crazy. Crazy Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get caught up with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp, when we come back, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranek.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, Colton Stone. And I'm going to apologize. And if you enjoyed it, great as well. But the brains behind the Royal updates on the sevens. Mark Kranek needs a middle finger or an applause, one or the other. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, it's been an interesting sports week, man. How are you?
Oh, we're talking sports. I had all my hot takes on the royal wedding. I got up early to watch it just for the show.
That's fine, man. You can hot take away. Yes or no, hot take number one, Harry over his skis with this one?
I would say so. Meghan Markle might be the best royal that formerly was on the reboot of 90210.
Well done.
I didn't realize she was on that. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, there's a scene from her appearance on that show that leaked out this week that probably didn't go over so well over in England.
Well, look, they're pissed about 90% of the time. They're offended by, you know. How many times this morning they've been like, oh, God, I cannot believe she's doing that.
I know.
Like, yeah. You know. Yeah.
But it's don't tweet at me. I watched part of it this morning. It's really kind of cool.
What? Yeah. Okay, let's go a little deeper.
I would have put money down that Sharpie would have been up for this. So Sharpie's he's always plugged in, not just with sports but with the world.
I got it timed on my phone. I had a little alert. I didn't want to watch the whole thing. But when they were getting ready to finish the ceremony, I got the alert. I woke up, turned on the TV, and I saw, you know, the kiss and then them leaving the church. So, you know, I think I've got my fill of the royals today. I know you got your fill of the royals last night.
I did. Yes. Well played.
But why don't they ever give us something? Why don't the British ever, you know, like, why don't they send a Premier Soccer League match that matters over here?
Mm.
You know, why don't they come cover one of our weddings?
They seem
to be going over there a lot.
They give us the James Bond series. I mean, those have been kind of good.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
I'll think about that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a great call. Send the Premier League championship over here. We send football over there. That's a good call, Sharp. I don't know.
Well, that's what we're talking about, sending our Super Bowl over there. They need to send something to us.
Yeah, this is not good, Gary. Let's talk baseball for a second, and your reaction to the Nebraska baseball climate right now. I know they're eliminated. It's a tough reality for Coach Erstad and this baseball team. What's your theory on in-state talent with Nebraska baseball? You know it way better than I do. And Nebraska's mining of that talent, are they doing enough?
Well, let's first start with, I think last Saturday I said, okay, maybe after the win over Maryland, maybe Darren is finding again to push the right buttons late. And, of course, I was completely wrong. And it just, the season never looked different. Like from the beginning of the year, throughout the year, the way they played, their mentality. I hope this year humbles a lot of people. Now, the people that are calling for Darren to be fired immediately are the same people that jumped on the old bandwagon towards the tail end of the Big Ten last year when they were making a run to the regular season championship. As we all know, he's not going anywhere. And first and foremost, he's a Husker. If you're a Husker and you put in the time in Nebraska, Bill Moose is going to give you some extra wiggle room. And he was never in danger. And I don't think if Darren felt like he could not get this program to where he thinks it should be, he would walk away on his own. But I hope everybody in that program is humbled this year and they realize that this is a major stain on the program to not in an 8-team Big Ten conference, which is better this year, but still it's the fifth or sixth best power conference in all of college baseball. You can't be missing your conference tournament in your own backyard, because what's going to happen starting Wednesday through the end of the week, people will be talking about Nebraska. In Nebraska, in a negative light, they're not here. So it's a stain on the program. I hope people get humbled, whether they be older in the uniform or younger in the uniform, because they can't stay status quo. Something has to change, because this year was truly unacceptable. Now, in-state talent, here's some things that this is a really, really good baseball state. There's a lot of really, really good baseball players. They don't get as much attention because the baseball recruiting is not so much mainstream media, especially in this state. You don't have a lot of reporters that cover high school baseball and talk about it, but there's a lot of talent. Nebraska's problem has been, I don't understand why the hesitancy to offer money to in-state position players. They have no problem offering money to pitchers, and they've got a good one, Kyle Perry, coming from Millard South next year. But I don't know what the hesitation is for position players. I also think Nebraska and this current staff has done a poor job of projecting players. You're getting younger and younger in how you're recruiting high school baseball players. For example, Max Anderson is a sophomore second baseman at Millard West here in Omaha. He's being recruited by Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Well, they're in on him, and he's a sophomore in high school. Nebraska has to join that and has to be able to project kids younger, maybe have a better feel for kids in the state of Nebraska when they're projecting them. But definitely their in-state recruiting has to get better. And it not necessarily might not be guys where, okay, you get that guy, but make an attempt. Get out there, see people, get your face in front of people, so that when you walk into somebody's ballpark during the spring or the summer, those coaches recognize you. They don't say, man, if blank coach walked in here from the Nebraska staff, would you even recognize him? That's got to change. So let's hope that 2018 is a learning lesson for Nebraska, that people can learn the lessons and move on. Because Nebraska, there's no way they can let this happen again next year. And if they do, then it's a completely different story that we're having on this Saturday about, okay, who's next in line to be the head coach at Nebraska.
Royal wedding update on the Sevens.
You're following that with this, okay.
Well, we had to change up the music a little bit.
What are we playing here? This sounds like from something from the 70s.
Uh-huh. Well, the wedding's over, so you know what's happening now. Okay.
That quick, wow. Good on Harry.
I thought I heard a little baseline action.
What up? Oh, brown chicken, brown cow. Okay, so you mentioned it, Gary. This has been endemic with the baseball program, though, in-state. It was a lot worse under Anderson, where, I mean, literally some of the assistants wouldn't even know which positions the players they were quote-unquote recruiting played, which is just unbelievable how you would even get into that situation. But I think you're right. And is it too myopic to think, unlike other sports where you really have to supplement from the coasts and from the kind of bigger population cities, I think the vast majority of your roster can absolutely be in-state or local guys in baseball.
Well, I'm gonna counter that, Mark, with if you look at Nebraska's roster when they went to the first College World Series in 2001, it was not littered with guys from Nebraska that were important parts of it.
You're right.
I think
yep.
It's important to have it's important. You know what? And I always
say Hawaii can be considered local, right?
Yeah. I look at it this way. If I'm a really, really good player in the state of Nebraska, high school baseball player, why would I stay in state? I can't play year-round. I'm not playing before large crowds. I'm not playing on TV every single game. I'm not going to places where every time I come to the plate or get on the mound, I've got a scout watching me. You have to have the in-state school give you a reason to stay home. Now, I think it was easier to coach in the Big 12 than it was in the Big 10 because you got to really, really be a good coach and manager of a program in the Big 10 to have success year after year after year. And I say that from the standpoint, you could be in the Big 12 and you still were able to recruit in your old haunts, Oklahoma, Texas, because you're going down there to play. You also are forced to be better in the Big 12 because every weekend is brutal. I mean, if you're not ready to play in the Big 12, you're going to get thumped, and the next thing you know, you're out of the mix and you're not going to the NCAA. But in the Big 10, it takes somebody extra special to continue to turn the program year after year after year. And, you know, this was a bad year. This was not a very good team. And I think you can make excuses. You can talk reality. It just was not a very good team. The mentally was not strong. They had some injuries. They had some slow starts. They weren't able to overcome. Seemed like there was a disconnect at times between what was being taught and what was being performed on the field. I don't know. This is one of those years that today's game, nine innings, just get it over with, and then everybody get away from each other. Go away. If you're going to make changes in your program, they're going to happen right away. But everybody just get away, go play summer ball, go on the road and recruit, and then come back in the fall. Because this program just needs to take a deep breath and just get away. Because it's not good right now. I mean, I heard for the first time this week, and I had to give some pause to it and think about it. Someone called our show and said, Darren Erstad right now reminds me a lot of John Sanders. And I was starting to do the Nebraska games at the tail end of John Sanders' career, and that was not good. And this caller went in to say, you know, look at some of the mannerisms, some of the way the program's being handled. And remember what one of the biggest knocks towards the end when John was not having continued success, guys, he wasn't recruiting in-state. It was all California JUCOs or elsewhere. He didn't want to get the Nebraska kid. Now, Darren's not to that level. But, I mean, we're in an interesting spot with Nebraska baseball.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, I want to get your take here on a topic that was brought up and commented on by Coach Frost and Coach Osborne, and that's getting Coach Solich back, maybe for the Outland, maybe for something bigger and more lasting, and that's a moment to say thanks at Memorial Stadium. I remember covering Coach Solich, and he's been on a few times since he's been at Ohio, and he's been on with you guys too, and I think I don't know him well enough, though, from a personal standpoint to say he'd absolutely be down for it. I think he's healing. I don't think he's let it affect him. He's plowed forward to coach at a really successful level, a good MAC team. He's built that program. He's not wallowed in what happened here. I mean, he's moved on. Good for him. That said, I think it's a tough sell to get him back here. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but just from my perception of him, he doesn't want any fuss over him. What do you think of that? Do you think he's a guy that wants to be back here and be patted on the back for the job he did?
Well, now remember, he has been back here to recruit.
Yes.
But
I'm saying,
Nebraska. Yeah, coming back to be honored, I'm with you, Chris. That's not Frank Solich. And there's still some bitterness about the way the whole thing went down.
Right.
And not necessarily whether you were a good coach or not, just the way it was handled by that athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would be extremely uncomfortable if they bring him back to Memorial Stadium and they basically parade him out there and say, hey, everybody, Coach Solich is back. If you're going to bring him back and he agrees to it, and it would be, and it's always great to see him. I actually saw him a couple of years ago pumping gas here in Omaha while he was in town recruiting and had a great 5-minute conversation with him. You bring him back as a Husker and you say, thanks for being a Husker, a football player, an assistant coach, and a head coach, because all of a sudden you start to churn. You remember what it was like towards, you know, Frank's career here, how it was broken down. Towards the end, people were like, okay, you know, you fired a 9-win coach, but boy, you did the right thing because of look at how the program was moving. That also sticks with Frank. Frank didn't like how it went down and, you know, some of the how he was treated by the media. And I'm with Frank on this because look how the media and, for the most part, fans in the departure of Mike Riley compared to Frank Solich. Mike Riley had media standing there shaking hands with him when he said goodbye. He was 19-19. Frank was, what, 40-plus games over 500?
Yeah,
and people
nuts.
Were ready to get the moving truck ready for him to get out of Lincoln right when he was fired by Steve Peterson in late November. So that kind of stuff still sticks with me, I beg your pardon. I don't think Frank would be comfortable. I think Frank eventually will come back. But just like Craig Bull, it's very awkward for those people that have put so much into that program, that program means so much to them, that they didn't leave on their own terms, to come back and everybody go, oh, it's okay, hey, how you doing? So I appreciate the gesture, and I think Frank does as well. Mm-hmm. It was nice to hear that Scott has talked to Frank, but we might have to slow this discussion about bringing Frank back for a tour around Memorial Stadium.
He is not about, you just nailed that perfectly with, 15 years ago, you guys told me I wasn't good enough. And between media and the fan base. So him and Bull too, they're both competitors, you know, kind of like forget you. Now you want me back. I'm still the same guy, you know?
And I appreciate with Scott being back, it's opened up the doors to some people to feel like they can come back to Lincoln and they're comfortable again.
Yeah.
And you know, we
bring back Bill Callahan.
There's also the list, Mark, of guys that are never allowed back. have hurt the program.
John Blake, let's have a parade.
A couple of athletic directors, a couple of football players, a couple of football coaches. But, you know, somebody else I would like to see, if we're in this, hey, the door is open, come on back, be part of this revival, I'd like to see Bobby Newcomb. And remember,
wow.
Bobby Newcomb was a teammate of Scott Frost in 1997. Now, mm-hmm. Bobby is down in the Phoenix area, and he is highly successful off the field, but very outside of the people that he still keeps in contact with here in Nebraska that are friends of his, you have not heard a peep out of him for about 20 years. Wouldn't it be something to have Bobby Newcomb and his family back in Memorial Stadium for a game this fall?
And they show
on the big screen the 97 Big 12 championship game where Newcomb is running down the field and Frost lays a block on a Texas A&M linebacker that knocks him out, and yeah. Newcomb is sprung for you know, down the left sideline.
You know, and I'm glad you brought him up, because as I was watching some UCF games last night, I was projecting Miles Jones forward. I think that's probably the best description of the types of players that Frost wants, is those sprinting striders like Newcomb. Newcomb would be perfect in the Frost, Oregon, whatever you want to call this offense, right? I mean, that's the body type that we should be looking for.
I agree with you. I agree. That kind of that burst, yeah, that's a great comp there.
Sharpie, we'll let you be. Enjoy post-wedding coverage, and
They're not going to cover that, Chris. I mean,
I get that. I'm seeing the replays, you sick bastard, of the early morning sessions. Sharpie, we'll get caught up again, bud. You have a good weekend, and thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Can you imagine that?
The play-by-play.
Now available on pay-per-view.
Prince Harry goes wrestling.
Oh, look at him. He's always been a tickler. He's just... Oh, she can't get enough of the tickling. Oh, he's going in.
Oh, my goodness.
For the hug. He's going in for the hug.
It would be the highest grossing pay-per-view in the history of the world.
I think you're going to just stop with gross. So...
They're not going to do it. I'm just saying, if they did, they would make billions. You know, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So this thing's gone straight to hell. What are you doing this weekend, Crane Hack? Good for you.
Oh, that was a weird time to answer that question. Well, it's basically an England day today, right? Like, it's gloomy, cloudy, rainy.
We're supposed to have baseball at 2, and I don't know that that's going to happen.
I bet you that affects in-state recruiting, by the way. Can we be honest? I mean, playing baseball in the state of Nebraska kind of sucks. Kind of windy. No,
not kind of at all. I mean, you're going to have moments of winter during spring, at least if this year's replicated, and then you're going to lose games due to weather.
Now, I know it kind of sucked when Van Horn was here, too, and somehow he overcame that. But I'm just saying, makes it a little difficult. You know, you're a local kid. You get offered by, say, an Arizona State or an A&M. You're like, you know what?
Well, you've got Childress that still has really good relationships here.
Yeah, exactly.
Be it Pius or Southwest, you know? And that's because he got it, and he crushed it when he was here. Between the, you know, Jabbas and Dusty Tomes of the world, and, I mean, guys that are in-state kids that... I mean, Childress was awesome in the state borders when he was here. And he still knows and sees a good ball player in Nebraska and gets him down to Aggieland.
Now, the only reason why we're even talking about Husker baseball right now is because Bill Byrne took a shot on an upstart guy from a small school. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it took to spark Nebraska baseball into being a thing. Because during the Sanders era, nobody cared at all, right?
Well, Sanders was there almost 20 years, went to the postseason 3 times, 79, 80, and 85.
And no one cared.
Well, no, I mean, look at the facility, for God's sake.
Well, I know, exactly. The school didn't care. The fans didn't care. Nobody cared. But that's what it took to kind of put a jolt into the program, is it was somewhat of a risk, right? I mean, Horn was from like Northwestern State, wherever the hell, in Louisiana.
And he had Arkansas background, early 83s, the early 80s Hogs teams were pretty good, okay?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he just won. He won wherever he was at, and he won at a high level, and he won quickly. And then, I mean,
he had a blueprint, a plan.
He had a plan, he had a blueprint, and then you needed success because you wanted to move forward with the Haymarket project.
But since that time, what's it been? It's been a loyal assistant that kind of gets promoted twice.
Well, the wrong assistant got the job, and that was, again, part of the plan by Bill Byrne, who was on his way out to A&M.
They just need a jolt, though. You know what I mean? Van Horn jolted this place.
Well, we'll see if things get fixed. Krenak, you have a good weekend, man. Thank you.
Enjoy the royal wedding post-event.
All right, there he is. Talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity.